Greetings, everyone. Nice to be back in the great state of Mississippi. Sound like a politician. Every time they speak of a state, regardless, this is a great state. Well, it's good to be back here again. In Ocala, Florida, where I have made my home for most of my life, there is a gentleman who writes a column for our local newspaper, and he writes about various events, local things that happen, and he and his wife like to go to eating establishments, and he will report back Italian, Mexican, all kind, and then the readers will write back and comment on their experiences. So one time recently, he invited his readers to go out and perform or comment on an experience they have had concerning an RAK. And I'm sure when you think about it, you will realize what those letters stand for. I'd like to speak today on this RAK and also on a PAK. I'm sure everyone, as I mentioned, is familiar. When I mention them, you'll remember them right away because we do that all the time. I'd like to speak on, as you need a title, Performing Acts of Kindness. And there are two kinds of kindness that I'd like to cover today. One is a random kind, and one is a planned kind, where we make extra effort to have everything organized. It reminds me of a time in my childhood when I was 7 or 8 years of age, attending an elementary school in Ocala. It was a short distance. I would walk up there, and we had recess in the afternoon, and I would walk over during the recess, and I sit down on a bench near the building. And as I sat down, I looked down at my feet, and there was a wallet lying there. So I picked it up. I don't remember if I opened it up right then, but when I opened it up, my eyes got really big, because in the contents there were $200. $200. I don't recall whether there's a identification in there or not, but you know, a 7-year-old, 8-year-old, he's not converted. So what does he do with $200? Should I give it to the principal, the teacher? I want to make sure it got back. So I took it home, gave it to my mother, and my mom said right away, we need to find who the owner of this, because I'm sure they're worried sick. Because if you live back in the 40s, the standard of living was not like it is today. And, you know, every dollar meant something, especially $200. And so she put out the word, and it wasn't long. We had a knock on the door, and the lady walked in, and she identified it exactly. And she wanted to give me some kind of reward. She had a few dollars. She said, look, I don't want your reward. I'm just thankful that I was able to, looking back, to perform an act of kindness. I hadn't planned it. It was random. But an act of kindness in returning an item to its rightful owner. And I've always remembered that. Today I'd like to cover two kinds of acts of kindness, and we do them all the time. We do it for a purpose, though. And the third point, or bring out, to whom should we be performing these acts more so than anyone else? If you turn to Luke 10 here, we'll look at what's called a random act of kindness. It's well known. It has to do with a man who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And Christ here was responding to a lawyer who had trying to attempt him and Christ had responded in verse 27, the Lord your God, he loved you, the Lord your God, with all your heart, your soul, your strength. And then he said, and your neighbor, and your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So this lawyer, trying to justify himself, wanted to know, well, who is my neighbor? So Christ gave an example here of this man who was traveling to Jericho. He fell among thieves. He was attacked, stripped of everything he had, left wounded and left for dead. And now, verse 31, by chance, an opportunity, unexpected, three people had an opportunity to perform a random act of kindness. And we'll review this and see which one actually followed through. There came down a certain priest. What did he do? He saw him. He passed by on the other side. He didn't want to be involved. Likewise, a Levite, same thing. He came, he looked, passed by on the other side. Didn't want to get involved. What happened to the third one? Verse 33, a certain Samaritan. He journeyed, he came where he was, and notice the number of times the acts of compassion this man administered to this wounded individual. He first of all had compassion on him. Notice what he did. First of all, he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine to cleanse his wounds and dress them. Next, he sent him on his own beast, a donkey or whatever animal he had there. And then notice, he brought him to an inn. Now, it doesn't say how many yards or miles or whatever he had to walk. It says he took him to an inn. He was going out of his way to perform an act of compassion and kindness to a man he'd never met before. And he took care of him. He could have left him there and said, okay, you take care of him, I'm gone, I'm out of here, I got things to do. No, he continued. Because the next day, the next morning, he stayed overnight. He said, before leaving, he said, took out 2 pence, just not a lot, but enough. He said, look, he gave it to the host. I want you to take care of this man. And if this is not enough, I'll be coming back through here shortly. If you have any more charge, increase, let me know. I'll pay the bill. He took care of him. So here you had 5 or 6 different acts of compassion and kindness this man administered. And so Christ asked, well, this lawyer said, well, which of these three do you think showed mercy? Well, he had no choice. He said, the one who, this man, neighbor who fell among thieves. Verse 37, he had no choice. Well, the one who showed mercy. Mercy is an act of compassion. And so that's one kind. That's a random kind. How about a planned kind, where you put a little more energy and organization into it? Well, let's go a few chapters over to Luke 14. Luke 14, here Christ is talking about the one subject of humility. And we'll just drop into verses 30 through 37. That's just glance through some of these. Verse 9, he said, he bade them to come and say to him, give this man place. Well, let's go down to the verse 11. Whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. I gave an example. Now, when Christ said to him that bade him, when you make a dinner or supper, call not your friends or your brethren, your kinsmen, your rich neighbors, lest they bid you again and recompense you. In other words, you invite me, I invite you. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. Christ said, no, you don't want to do that. Verse 13, when you make a feast, you call the poor, you call the maimed, the lame, the blind, and then you shall be blessed. For they can't repay you. They can't afford to do the same thing you're doing to them and for them. For you shall be recompensed. When? At the resurrection of the just You can jot down Revelation 22, verse 12. That's when we receive our reward, brethren. When Christ returns, his reward to give to each of us is with him. Acts of kindness. Now, there's one other point here, and that is focusing. To whom do we focus our attention primarily? Yes, we can do. I mow the lawn sometimes for my neighbors. You can take a widow to the grocery store and help her out. We help our neighbors where we can, but who is the primary group that we are most concerned with? Let's turn, if you will, or a final scripture here, Galatians, the 6th chapter. Another well-known, but certainly that applies to each of us today. Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. Let's see what the Apostle Paul has to say here. And let us not be weary. And being weary is just being lackadaisical. No, we don't want to do that. We get tired, yes. We get physically tired. But Paul says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And look that up. The word faint means to relax. Just take it easy. Don't bother with other people. In verse 10, as we therefore have opportunity, whenever and wherever it may come, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are the household of faith. The word household, the root word of that is a dwelling or a family. Brethren, we are God's spiritual begotten family. And the next step we look for is to be born again members of God's family. So we are first of all concerned with our brethren, helping others where we can. We are scattered all over the country, all over the world. I have examples of some ladies knitting blankets and things for a family who has a new addition to their family. We can do all sorts of things. We can't go across town and visit our neighbors, like most of us, like we used to, but we have the internet. We can always offer a prayer for our brethren. That's what the fellowship forum is for. But this is what we're to be doing, brethren. Christ said, freely you receive, freely we give. We're not here to be ministered or served. We are here to minister to and to serve. So, in conclusion, by performing acts of kindness now, we are ourselves laying up treasures in heaven for the future, when we will be rewarded and will be the recipients of the greatest act of kindness could ever be bestowed on any peoples, the gift of eternal life in the kingdom of God.